way, you can think of an angelic being that has turned against God. And as much as angelic beings serve God, demons serve Satan himself. And so as good as angels might be in their service for God, we find that demons are bad, wicked, of course, sinful in their work for Satan. And so when you think about demons, then understand there's nothing good about demons. Amen. They started out to be good, just like all the other two-thirds of the host of heaven, the angels, but they chose to follow Satan, and now they are demons, and they're wicked, and they're sinful, and we have to have no part with them as well. So we saw last week that demons are intelligent, and we said from the book of Mark that they know Jesus Christ. And not only do they know Jesus Christ, we find that they know their own destiny. You know what? That's even smarter than a lot of human beings. I mean, they might know who Jesus is, but they don't know their destiny. They don't believe their destiny. They might know, but they don't believe it. Demons, along with Satan himself, knows his destiny, and they believe that they're end up going to be there. And then they found out in James 2 and verse 19, we found out they not only know about God, they know about salvation. They can experience salvation. They're a created being, but they know what salvation is all about. And that's why they fight so hard. And Satan blinds the mind of them that are lost in order that they might not be saved. And then we said they definitely have a heads up on most believers when we think about them being intelligent. They know Christ, they know their destiny, they know salvation. And lastly, they know doctrine. And so they know doctrine because they want to twist doctrine. They want to take the scriptures, the holy scriptures, and turn them to make them say what they want them to say, to make man think that they say a certain way in order that they might not truly be saved. And so that brings us to fact number two. So not only are demons intellectual, but notice here in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 29, we find that demons are an emotional being as well, an emotional being. Who would read Matthew 8 and verse number 29? Matthew 8 and verse 29. All right, Mr. Henry, thank you. All right, here in this passage we find in verse number 28, we find that this is the great passage of the Bible that talks about the man from the Gadarenes. And here it says they met two possessed with the devils coming out of the tomb exceedingly fierce so that no man might pass by the way. So as we would think about this, we need to understand that demons are emotional. He said, well, Pastor, how do you get emotions from here? Well, in verse number 28, the Bible said they cried out. That term, that word cried out doesn't mean they just said, hey, big boy. That doesn't mean that at all. It means they had great passion in their voice. And they cried out with a loud voice, with great passion in their voice in order that they might attract attention of Jesus and others that were with him. And literally it means to speak with a loud, boisterous, with passion in their voice. Turn over to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. We've already looked at several verses of Scripture. I mean, we looked at this several times before. But look at, in a different context, but look at Luke 8 and verse number 28. When we think about demons have emotions, they cry out, they speak. Who would read then Luke 8 and verse number 28? Luke 8 and verse 28. Okay, John, thank you.
Okay. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment thee not.
All right. So here we have a parallel passage, and notice this word in Luke 8 and verse number 28. It says, and when he saw Jesus, he again cried out, and fell down before him. Notice these words. And with a, what kind of voice? a loud voice, again indicating to you and I that it was almost that he was screaming out to him to get his attention. You see, because he was moved with emotion because of what was getting about ready to get happen to him. So we find that it means to speak out. It means they screamed out. But then turn to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. Who would read James 2 and verse number 19? James 2 and verse 19. All right, I'd give people just a second more to get there, and then go ahead and read.
If thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe in
the All right, remember last week we talked about this word tremble in a different passage of Scripture. And what did I tell you that word tremble literally translates as? Shuddering, trembling, shaking, but yet it meant one more thing, even a little bit greater. Do you remember? Perhaps when you're afraid, what happens? That's right, Miss Pat. Thank you. The hair stands up on your neck. That's right. And literally, that's what that word means. Your hair is bristly or standing on its end. So you see, we find that these are created beings, and they have emotion. They speak loudly to get their point across. And we find they cry out. And then also we find that the Bible says in James 2 and verse number 19 that they tremble. You see, demons like to work in the realm of emotions, and they can't work in the realm of emotions if they don't understand emotions. And it seems from these texts that one of the things that really ignites the demons in their work for Satan is when you begin to talk about a reference of the judgment of God upon them. Another thing that seems to ignite them or the emotions of a demon is when they come into confrontation with a very highly committed servant of Jesus Christ. Let's look at one of those. Acts chapter number 16. Turn your Bibles to Acts 16. So we find that demons not only have emotions, but they react sometimes very violently when they're confronted by, let's say, a born-again believer, someone who's serving Jesus Christ and fully committed to Christ. We find that it really works on their being and works on their emotions. And who would read for us Acts 16, verses 16, 17, and 18? Acts 16, verses 16 through number 18. All right, Shannon, thank you.
And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain man with a gentle spirit of divination met us, which brought our master much gain by three things. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour."
All right, so here we find the passage of Scripture, and we see that when demons come in contact with a person who is totally committed and sold out for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we find it really ignites their emotions. It really gets them excited. And oftentimes, the very presence of a true servant of God is going to cause them to act in a way that they won't normally act. Not all the time in the realm of demons and demonologies, that they don't always want to cause a person to act in this kind of way. But here we find that it does. So when I looked at this passage of Scripture, I began to think, and I asked myself this question. The Bible says, the same followed Paul and us. So we know the us is at least speaking about Dr. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts. So he said, the same followed Paul and us. Now think about it for a minute to put in context when I'm teaching about how they come in contact with someone who's really serving God, how they get agitated by it. Think it says here, the same followed us. Why would this person be following Dr. Luke and following Paul in this manner? What reason would this demon-possessed person do that? Why would they do that? John? That's good. It's a great answer. The learner of their weaknesses, yes. Why else? Nola? Mm-hmm.
But yet she was telling the truth, proclaiming the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So people might look at her and say, well, she's just as godly as...
That's one of the main reasons why, and that's the way I believe it was, is because she was pointing out the truth of Paul and what he was preaching and teaching, and people would see what he was doing was to be the truth and to give her own self-credibility. I think there's another reason it could have been. Maybe she was prophesying for gain, and maybe she thought that... By her pointing out Paul and Dr. Luke, that people might turn to her more. I think there's a second reason why, because she knew that she was possessed with a demon, and just perhaps, maybe, by speaking to Paul and Dr. Luke that way, that they might cast the demon out of her. But I think really the real reason is what Miss Nola said. And I think she hit the nail exactly on the head. And she understood that they were sent by God, and she could soothsay and prophesy about what they did, giving them honor and glory, giving God honor and glory, that people would look at her and say, but look at her, she knows what she's talking about after all. And so we have to be very careful about oftentimes the way that... That when people come and they want to just show us all their grandeur and all their knowledge of the Word of God, because sometimes, you know what, they have a knowledge of the Word of God, but they don't possess Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they want to do it to make themselves look good. In reality, they're in wolves and sheep's clothing, so to speak. So we see that demons are emotional. And then we'll look at fact number three. Turn your Bibles back again to Luke chapter number 8. And we find that demons have a will. Look at Luke chapter number 8, verses 30 through verse number 32. And who would read that for the pastor again? Luke 8, verses 30 through verse number 32. And we think about demons have a will. All right, Dave, thank you. All right. So here we see that demons, they have a will. They have desire. They have a will. And we find in this passage of Scripture that they understood that they did not want to go to the abyss, the place where some chained demons are right now. They didn't want to go there. So they understood, listen, if he casts us down to the abyss, we're going to be there for a long, long time. So we don't want that. And they asked Jesus to be cast into the swine. I think demons have a will. Primarily, the demon's will is used for two different things. First of all, it's used to oppose God. That's the number one thing. If God is for it, they're against it. And not only if God is for it, but anything connected with God, anything holy, anything pure, anything just, anything right, they are opposed to it. And then secondly, we find their second objective is to avoid judgment. And that's what we find here in this passage. A demon has a will and he desires to possess and control anyone, anything that he can, so that he can stop God's will from being done. And he knows in the abyss he's not going to accomplish anything for his father, Satan, chained in the abyss. And so that's their two primary objectives, to oppose God and all things connected with him, and then to avoid judgment. And then we see fact number four. Notice that demons are evil spirit beings. Turn to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. And look at verse number 1. Matthew 10 and verse number 1. Right, who would read that? Matthew 10 and verse number 1. All right, Vicki. All right. So we find that demons are evil spirits. In other words, they're unclean, they're impure, they're foul, they're vile, they're wicked. And again, from the introduction, you understand that as good as angels are, in the presence of God, you understand that these demons, these fallen angels, are just the opposite in the presence of Satan himself. And so we find that they are evil spirit beings. Turn to Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Mark 5 and verse number 8. Again, proof text of what these demons really are. Who would read that? Mark 5. In Matthew 5 and verse number 8. Mark 5, sorry. All right, thank you, Tracy. All right, there again, unclean spirit, evil spirit beings, unclean, impure, foul, ungodly. So you think, when you think about who they are, understand this, that there is not such a thing as a good demon. In Satanology and the study of and the worship of the earth, we have, they say, well, there's black witches, which are evil. Then there's white witches, which are good, and they just love Mother Earth. Understand this, that whether you're a black witch or a white witch, I don't mean skin color, I mean just by what they do, they're all bad, they're all wrong, they're all ungodly. Demons are the same way. Every demon is not good. There's nothing clean, nothing pure about anything that's demonic. And demons are a spiritual and not a physical force. And sometimes they do enter into physical bodies and personalities and take personality of things. They cannot be fought physically. The Bible tells us that spiritual beings are fought spiritually by close adherence to the Word of God and by putting on the armor of God. Turn to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. And when somebody has that, who would like to read that? Ephesians 6. All right, Henry, thank you. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. All right, so we see when demons come up against us, we can't fight them physically because they are spiritual beings. They're angelic beings created by God that have fallen and turned towards Satan. So notice in this word, the Bible says they're principalities. Tell me, what do you think that term principality means in Ephesians 6 and verse 12? What's your study Bible tell you? Go ahead and look real quick. We got time. Think about it. Principalities. Does your Bible say anything? Does it give you a hint? Government leaders. That's a great answer. Yes, Miss Nola. That's right. Government leaders. Yes. Principality means evil spirits who are chieftains or political rulers. So those are principalities. And you know what? That's why sometimes I said this before in our study of Satan. Satan doesn't have to always bother me. He doesn't have to come my way because, you know what, there's bigger fish in the world than me and bigger fish than you. Sometimes he may or he may not. But you know what? When we think about principalities, we're thinking about evil spirits who are chieftains or political rulers. And then it uses that word powers. What do you think that is making reference to? Anybody? How about this? Anyone who has any form of power, any form of position. Maybe you're not a political ruler. Maybe you're not a chieftain, but you're a ruler over some. That's what that's making reference to. And then it makes reference to the rulers of darkness. And we don't have time, but Ephesians 2 and verse number 2 is a good verse for us to look at. Then it uses that term spiritual wickedness. That literally means wicked spirits. And then it goes on in high places. You see, evil spirits really inhabit the lofty regions of our air. That's where Satan was cast down to. And you can refer back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2 for that. So we can see a little bit what demons are like. They have a will and they have their evil spirit beings. We also saw that they're emotional and their intelligence. Just to give you a little background of what they are and what they're made of. So simply, we can think of it this way. Whatever an angel would do in the Bible, a demon can at least do that. He can at least have the same power as God's angels do. So when you think about it now, and you think about people that have seances and worship Satan and Satan's satanic angels, listen, that's not something that you and I ought to be messing around with. As a matter of fact, we ought to stay completely away from it. And the only way we can fight is by putting on the spiritual armor in verses 13 through 18 of Ephesians chapter number 6 and by staying deep inside the Word of God. And so, as we close tonight, think about this. Demons are not something that you want to mess with. We can't fight them in our own power because they're spiritual beings, and we have to fight them not with physical, but with the spiritual, the spirit of the Word of God and putting on God's armor. So if you want to defeat them, that's how you're